Hello, and welcome to episode 583 of the League Rundown. This is your 2025 World's Swiss check-in episode, and it's entitled, It Was the Best of Draws, It Was the Worst of Draws. I'm your host, Kangas, and I'm joined by two esteemed co-hosts. We are back-to-back weeks here, represented with a Bickle fresh out of the can.
Wait,
I'd reverse it. Wait, Bickle's not out of the can. I guess you're out of the can now. Well, I guess the cat's out of the bag for sure.
if I don't say anything, I can't put my foot in my mouth any more than I did last week.
Or any more than I just did. We got Bickle. We also have Badger, who's usually the one out of the can.
I wonder who this title is in reference to. I can't imagine who you could be possibly talking about at this point.
Who could have the worst?
The best of draws and the worst of draws? Wild.
I'm sure we'll talk about it later here. but this is going to be kind of like a midpoint check-in for the Swiss draw. I know that the uploads have been a little sporadic. Sorry about that. But thanks for keeping with us, everybody, for just like when the episodes are coming out. This one we are technically recording during this kind of break period before the next kind of half of Swiss stage starts. But by the time you are hearing it, it will be hopefully only one day late. From like kind of when games are going to be expected, but we still just wanted to give our thoughts on how things have shaken out so far and catch everybody up in case they weren't able to catch all the games, just kind of what the big storylines at Worlds are currently, because gentlemen, it did not go how we expected.
Our takes have aged very well. I don't know what you're talking about right now, Kangas.
It's not like any of our takes were a burn to the ground like 6 hours after we actually recorded the episode or anything.
Literally.
Surely no one caused this podcast to get like a 2-star review or anything.
Oh, no. Didn't you ask for a 2-star review last week? I'm pretty sure that was like...
No, I asked for a 5-star review, and then we caveated saying that if a certain situation happened, which would totally never happen,
that's
to
right,
give us a 2-star review. And,
Hey, you
Thanks,
know what?
Beishuan.
At least we can say our audience is honest. You know, they listen. They follow through. But we're going to get through some global news bits before Worlds proper. Up first, a couple of roster news shakeups did happen this past week. Badger, would you say the evil's been defeated? Shopify Rebellion had some news that they dropped already earlier this week.
That's not the one that I was thinking of when you were saying the evil has been defeated.
So what I'm referencing for Shopify is the mid lane, because Palafox was officially dropped.
He has a different user in mind.
He received incredible, community, just heat all split.
Oh my gosh. Genuinely, I feel really bad for him because he got so much flack. But like, I mean, when you perform like he did for most of the season, like you're gonna get that heat, unfortunately. Yep. So
what we saw was his top end is, from my experience, from my eye this year, and even factoring in past years now, when he's playing at his top, he's a great player, but he plays at his top like 10% of the time. Like, it's not even close to consistent. Like, Contrax is a more consistent player than Palafox. And Contrax has his entire career has been known as, like, really coin flippy, but man, he's good when he flips heads, right? So you don't want to be, like, a worse version of that. And that's kind of what it felt like Palafox's past year was. So wish the best of luck to him. Do we think he gets another shot is now the next question on a lot of people's minds. Badger, do you think that there's enough in Palafox that other teams would be looking at him, or do you think this is his last foray as a pro player?
I mean, I think some teams, there's going to be some team that takes a chance on him at this point. Like, looking through, even if it's not in, like, one of the major regions right away, like, if he goes to, like, LTA South, like, that might be what he needs, or spend a year on, like, the Luminosity rebuild project that is definitely probably incoming at this point, just based on how they didn't qualify. Who knows who's going to still be on that team and who won't be at this point. So, I don't think this is the last we've seen of Palafox. I'll just answer that. I don't know where he would go at this point.
Yeah, I mean, there are teams looking for mid laners, but I think I'm the opposite opinion. I would be surprised if he is picked up based on from my understanding, a big part of him getting picked up for Shopify was that they were trying to capture some of that NRG magic, weren't able to recreate it. I don't see another GM having the same process, mental process of like, oh yeah, it's like Palafox and contracts that we're getting together, type of deal. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see if Palafox is able to move on anywhere else. But Bickle, what's the next news bit? Was that you that just added something? Because you added something that I had missed initially.
Yes,
then, I
remembered this in the back of my mind and double checked to make sure I wasn't taking crazy pills. Lion has parted ways with their support Lions. So more roster changes.
Okay, so this one I'm actually realizing now, when I saw you add that to the doc, I was like, what? And I checked Twitter, and that was a couple days ago as of this being posted, so that just did not pop up on my feed. But that is interesting to think about, because Lions was one of the LLA players that was playing for Lion, which was an LLA organization. I know it's a little awkward now, because we're now two different regions. It's no longer going to be the LTA. It's back to LCS and CBLOL. But still, from my understanding, LLA players were going to kind of get like mini grandfathered in. Like, it was going to be the same rules for you can play, LLA teams can like play as many of those players as they want. So maybe they get a different LLA support. I don't know what the rest of the roster would look like without Lions there, but definitely sucks for him because he literally name changed because he's such a big fan of the OG org Lion. And it's like a big reason why he wanted to go pro to begin with. And from talking with him, it was his dream to be on this organization and play for them. So that's got to be heartbreaking for him. Ooh, that's tough. All right, well, a bit of a surprise one right there. Bickle, what else had happened, though? Because one of the other yellow teams had a couple of movements here this past week as well.
Yeah, here is what Badger feels is the evil has been defeated. Dignitas has a new general manager.
Woo! Bakery is out. Does anybody even know like other GMs? I feel like Bakery's one of the only GMs people truly know because they hate him so much. They just like this guy. He gets all the flack for everything that happens at Dig. you know what? I hate to say it because Badger, if you are truly claiming that the evil has been defeated. He got moved to just VP, status. So he is the vice president.
Get him away.
Only vice president. He does not handle anything GM. I believe he technically was also held that title before. He just was handling GM responsibilities.
Correct.
Now he will no longer be handling GM responsibilities. I am personally very excited for who they have coming in, though. Jonathan, Kamikaze Platypus, was his kind of like gamer tag. He no longer calls himself that, understandably. He just goes by Jonathan now. We've had him on the podcast in the past, actually.
We have.
Really, really, really fun guy. Loved what he did at CLG and then NRG. He is the type of GM that I think every org should want to pick up because he has a vision for how to build a roster, and he knows the scene at such an intimate level that he's able to, first off, when he talks to players, they trust him, and second of all, he just knows so many of the players and the developing players too that he can build these kind of more moneyball rosters, kind of like that old CLG roster where like Poom showed up out of nowhere and like, who's Poom? And then like even Luger coming in was kind of a wild card. And I know like they didn't age as well and they were dropped eventually for, you know, like Ole and FBI later on when it came to NRG. But still, Jonathan has a good eye for building stuff. So Badger, are we excited for this one?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see Dignitas, you know, be a contending team. So
Really? I can hear the passion in your voice.
I don't know. It's just better when all of the teams, like, if we're going to have three slots at Worlds, we need to fucking earn it. I'm going to be honest, because, like,
yeah,
I mean, 100 Thieves is having a really good performance right now, despite all odds being against them based on, you know, the best of draws and the worst of draws. Like, but, like, yeah. Even then, like, I mean, if C9 was here, like, where would C9 slot into it? Or like TL, or if you were looking at all these other teams, like if we're going to have three slots for NA, we need to make it worth it because
three slots with eight teams in the region still.
Yeah.
From my understanding, and I don't know if this has 100% been confirmed, And I don't know, like, this is also me saying, like, I have no insider information on this, but my assumption is we're going to have 8 teams next year for LCS. I know that we're going back to the original brands. I haven't heard anything about, like, going back to the 10-team format. So if we have 8 teams and 3 spots at Worlds, all 8 of our teams better have a shot of top 3. Like, that's barely top 50% in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I agree that I want a higher floor.
Can't do worse than they did this year. It's not physically possible.
I don't well, hey. Never count Dig out. But
they went 0-3 in summer into doing nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, that was tough. Hey, they had Photon. I want Photon to stay. I actually really liked when I got to chat with Photon a little bit behind the scenes. Really, really nice guy and seemed to really want to do well and, like, make this roster work. But he just was like, I think it just felt out of my control, man. Like, I just came into a boomed roster. I understand that. But I also, Dignitas is one. They are the longest running org in NA at this point. They predate C9. They are the legacy org in the LCS. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to be the laughingstock of the league and the thing that everyone shits on. I actually think that the league will be best if, like, Team Liquid, C9, Dig are fighting for the world spots. Like, could you imagine a world where Dig is actually in the conversation? It's so hard to imagine because it's been so long since that's ever been the case, and they barely are, like, ever in the top 4 conversation. But still, they have so much history in the league that, like, they can lean on that. We can lean on that as a broadcast. I know a lot of it's, like, so ancient history now that maybe it won't land, but, like, there's something there, and I want the org to do well.
Looking at how we expect the off season to go, I do think they will be more competitive with the rest of the region, and I also do think it's going to be really competitive for those world spots. Though there's a pessimist in me that thinks the reason it's going to be more competitive is I think FlyQuest is going to lose their best players and be regressing to the mean.
Ooh, I don't like hearing that.
And 100 Thieves is already disappearing, so.
Yeah, we are unfortunately not beating the one team region allegations. Although, he's a little bit of that got beaten at Worlds. We'll talk about that when we get to, like, the Swiss stage stuff. But
yeah, hopefully that Jonathan team can do well next year. Oh, wait, they're not going to exist.
Yeah. But yeah, with Dignitas hiring Jonathan as GM, there also comes the news that Furia down in LTA Seoul, soon to be CBLOL, they released Think Card as head coach. Now, Think Card and Jonathan were GM and head coach for CLG and NRG together. Heavy, heavy rumors that Think Card is going to head back to North America and be Dignitas' head coach. And I'm just telling you right now, if they have an entire 3 months here left in this offseason with a GM like Jonathan and a head coach like ThinkCard, they can build a very exciting roster. And I really do think that just those two alone, not even knowing what players they have, I'm excited. I'm excited for what's happening in Dignitas' offseason. And that's something I cannot say. I don't think I've ever been excited for Dignitas in an offseason, now that I actually think about it. So
yeah, like, hold on a second. Wait. This feels wrong.
Yeah, it really does.
Hold on, that's not in the script.
Wait a second.
That's all the roster news that we were able to catch ourselves at least this week. But there was one other variety topic I wanted to cover. Did anybody follow the story, the news story about Dokla and how popular he's getting in Chinese social media?
Oh, yeah,
Chinese
it's forums? Great. I love
it's
it.
It's hilarious.
And then Golden Glue is making videos as well, posting them.
All right, so Badger, for anybody who maybe has not seen these, because these were posted on formerly known as Twitter, now X, Dokla's been very, like, he's posting every day, basically, like, morning and night videos. But, like, what was the context? Like, why did why is he popping off on Chinese social media?
I don't know. I just think it's just the fact that he was just, like, being super open about stuff and, like, being like, you know what? I didn't think... Didn't the 100 Thieves account post the Piosik, God has abandoned us, but we will enjoy it?
Yeah. No, they've been very memey about their draw. I mean, the name of this episode was titled The Best of Draws, Worst of Draws. They're on the worst of draws side. They've had a really unlucky draw.
They genuinely have the worst of draws right now.
And Dokla, every time, is just, like, crashing out on Twitter. And then the next video, it's, like, a really cool, calm act that he's like, no, it's fine, guys.
He just has, like, a good morning, like, ni hao. Like,
ni hao.
Just,
he's always shirtless, too, in the video.
Yeah, he's just laying in bed shirtless in his hotel. though.
Dude, he recreated. Does anybody know the Chinese beaver, I think? Or maybe yes, badger?
Yeah.
I think it's a beaver. The Chinese beaver meme where it's like, I don't know what the movie was, but there's some like Chinese animated film where like a beaver is having like an empowered, impassioned speech that they're giving somebody.
Yes.
And it got memed on a lot of like TikTok and like Instagram and stuff here in the West, just because like we don't know what he's saying, but it's just funny to see like a beaver be so passionate. Dokla recreated that audio with it, like, but him pretending to be like doing all the actions the beaver was. That one got like 15,000 likes on Twitter, which just doesn't happen in esports these days, and popped off on Weibo, and everybody in China is apparently like Dokla's biggest fan. But it also started, and this is the segue here, it started in round one Swiss stage that 100 Thieves actually were able to pull an upset. That's right, it's time to talk about Worlds. Reminder, before we hop into it, though, that if we missed any news stories, you can let us know in our community Discord. You can find a link for that in the description wherever you're watching. And if you want to support the pod, we have a Patreon and we have a merch shop. Links for those are also in the description. But now it's time to talk about Worlds, because 100 Thieves' story, Bickle, this was a big one. They pulled off the upset in round one, and I want to start there because that's got to be, like, the craziest surprise and story that we had in all of Worlds. I was 100% 100 Thieves were just going to crash out 0-3 and just bomb out of Worlds, but they were able to do it. They took down Top Esports, right? Wait, who did they have for round one?
It was
BLG.
It was BLG, you know, the one seed of the LPL. All of us last week were saying there's no chance in hell this team wins. I definitively said they were the worst team at Worlds by far, mm-hmm. that they were going to go 0-3, including a 0-2 in that last round, and bomb out. And literally 4 to 5 hours later, they smack the ever-living hell out of BLG.
Yep.
Like, just, it's absurd. And I don't know who 100 Thieves paid, like, what they sacrificed to get that. Well, we do know what they sacrificed. It's their ability to get any sort of a decent draw, because their prize for beating BLG was to go against Top Esports. And in losing to Top Esports, they got to go against Hanwha Life. And now that they've lost to Hanwha Life, their
in
elimination
the
match,
bracket, by the way,
in the 1-2 match, is against T1.
Yeah. The other options were VKS, McCoy, Team Secret Whales. They couldn't rematch against BLG in the 1-2. But, like, I feel so much better against any of those other teams. T1 is the worst one that they could have drawn. And, of course, they have to get him. That's crazy.
It's just hilarious. Like, someone gets screwed by the draw every time. It just happened to be them.
It just happened to be 100 Thieves this time.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the skins department, they also can rig the draws for T1. Although, actually, T1 didn't have the easiest draws.
So, can we talk about... I don't mean to pivot this, but, like, doing the title, I mean, we got to go worst of draws. We got to talk about the best of draws.
I was going
to
talk about this.
What the fuck is this KT Rolster draw? I swear... They got so... Okay, so KT goes 3-0, which clearly everybody on the podcast predicted last week, because we definitely had full faith and were so, you know, that E-word excited for KT Rolster going into this. Mm-hmm. They draw Koi, Secret Whales, who I think was a really good matchup for them, because, like, the strength of Secret Whales is just, like, the idea that they want to play through mid-jungle, and, like, KT Rolster has one of the four horsemen of the fucking apocalypse in their fucking mid lane right now. And then they got Top Esports, who I just... Oh, my gosh.
We got the fraud off.
We got the fraud off, and it was just... One it was the most stoppable force versus movable object, like, best of three to get out of Swiss that you could possibly imagine at that point.
Badger, you call that the best of draws. I see your KT draw and raise you the Billy Billy draw, who have played 100...
Actually, Fnatic, you know, Billy Billy...
and G2, and now get VKS. Mind you, and despite all this, they're 1-2.
That's actually insane. They drew three, now four Western teams, and they could get eliminated. That would be insane. That's got to be like the worst ever. I fear for the players' lives going back to China.
Bro, I don't think those boys back, could go back to their apartments, like their houses or whatever.
Been allowed to leave the stadium, like legitimately.
I'm telling you right now,
in the stadium,
the sound, just the crowd during the 100 Thieves BLG game was just silent, and it was so funny, man. I loved it.
They actually turned.
How is it depressed Beijing? They were.
Were they playing? Are they in Beijing?
I don't remember where the first leg is, but Beijing is one of them. But either way, yeah. So I had us all put down like the biggest surprises. Yeah, Bickle, you put BLG drawing only the Western going 1-2. Badger, you put KT going 3-0. Both of those big surprises. I put one that I think deserves to be up there too, and that's CFO. Almost going 3-0. They didn't quite get there. They were one game away. They won their first two best of ones. They're in the promotion round to get into the knockout stage. And they win game one versus AL from LPL. They do get reverse swept in that best of three then. But like CFO, man, we went into this thinking like, okay, FlyQuest, CFO, G2. We don't know who is like definitively the best out of those because all regions kind of feel like a one-team region. And these are the best of that each region can show. Man, CFO look a lot better than FlyQuest and G2. Like this team.
Yeah, oh yeah, no, it's
insane.
Definitely
insane.
This team, so even like game two, they had moments where you're just like, oh, can they do it? And then like the mid game happens and the bar fight that, like I said, this team has never seen a bar fight that they just don't think they can win no matter what the odds are. And they were definitely punching above their weight class in that game two. And then game three is just, Shanks taking over, Flandre and Hope working really well together in tandem to get, combos down so that Shanks can jump in and out of these fights just in impossible situations. But like the Oysters, when they went up 1-0 on Anyone's Legend, I'm thinking, holy shit, this team's like, this team can win worlds. Like,
yeah, no, I honestly had the same thought. And that is a crazy thought to have that like, and part of it is that they embarrassed Fnatic. That was a super,
oh my gosh. That game was the bully beatdown of the week. Like,
I don't even want to talk about that one. Cause it was so one-sided. Then they do almost the same thing to T1. They beat T1 in an insane fashion, like domination. And I was like, dude, this CFO is legit. They just crushed the reigning world champs. And then they go against AL. They win game one pretty convincingly. And I was like, okay. And then again, competitive game two, game three was what it was. I just want to give props to CFO from the LCP. Really, really good showing. All year, they've had a great showing.
And for CFO, we were all expecting Hongqiu to be the big standout for this team that's kind of making the plays. Fucking Doggo.
This
man's Draven, I think, is going to be permabanned for the rest of the tournament, legitimately. He was styling on T1 on Draven.
He was
really
good.
The way the team plays is just so fun to watch. I think they are, in my current like opinion, obviously there's many more games to play, so I might change my opinion, but right now they're the most fun team to watch at Worlds.
If I'm remembering correct, he solo killed Doran top lane, he solo killed Gumayushi mid lane, and then I think he killed somebody in a 2v1 mid lane. Sorry, a 1v2 mid lane, where he was chasing both of them down.
he's got that Doggo in him. What can I tell you,
And even in the losses, he was playing phenomenal on Lucian.
I feel like the way the team plays, they're so fast, they're so explosive, and they are playing a slightly different tempo than a lot of the other teams at Worlds, which, again, makes them very exciting to watch because their AD carry is willing to just pop off, and they still have players like Hongqiu in the wings to kind of be that secondary carry for them, too. So CFO, I think, pretty much almost all of us had them making it out of Swiss stage. I think it was only Yanni that did not, but he was a little more LPL biased in his. But I would not be surprised if they even win their next round here, despite the opponent that they're up against. So that was my biggest surprise. But next up, I wanted to cover kind of the craziest stories. I already mentioned 100 Thieves' draws. We talked about that. Actually, I think Badger brought that one up. But what are some of the other craziest stories that have happened so far in the Swiss stage? We're about halfway through, getting ready for knockouts in about a week. But so far, what are the ones that we want to highlight here? Badger, I want to hear from you first.
So I put the round four draw because, God, there's absolute cinema, and then if you go up a tier, it's this draw. We get G2 FlyQuest. We get the T100 Thieves series. We get, God, what else do we get?
Gen G Top Esports is pretty banger also.
Gen G Top.
I'm excited for that.
Hanwha versus CFO. Flying. Hanwha CFO, versus the Oysters. Oh my gosh. I mean, We had to sacrifice some of them in the 1-2 of just like Koi versus Secret Whales. Like,
yeah, I think there's only legitimately there's only one dud, and I honestly think it's BLG VKS. I think that one's gonna be a 2-0.
I think that one's gonna be kind of rough.
I'm gonna be completely honest. I think that's gonna be a closer series than we expect, and it's gonna be really pressing.
I'm still going to give BLG some more respect. But MKOI versus Team Secret Whales is, I honestly think, still kind of exciting because Team Secret Whales, in their losses, have still looked competitive, and they were able to win their first round. Versus VKS, of course, but still, like, they showed that they can take down the weaker Western teams. I don't think it's going to be a, like, one of the best series at Worlds, but I think it's going to be a competitive series. And then the rest, I think, are all really competitive. Maybe less 100 Thieves versus T1. I think it was a bit of a fluke 100 Thieves got the BLG win. I haven't, like, fully revived my faith in them, but...
hey, man, it's best of ones. Maybe they can make it work.
I don't think it's a fluke in the sense that 100 Thieves played extremely well and they're not going to play that well again. I think it's a more a fluke in that BLG is just really bad.
Yeah, they did not show up at this Worlds. And it's not best of ones from this point on. It's going to be all best of threes here. So 100 Thieves will have to win 2 versus T1. I'm giving them one. Spoiler for predictions later. I think they can get 1 of the 3. Getting 2 of the 3, that's a little tough. But yeah, round four, banger stuff.
The other thing can we talk about Jarvan's win rate?
My God.
Oh, yes. Was it 1-9 right now?
It is, I'm checking it, it is 2-8 right now.
Oh, it's 2-8? Are you sure? I thought it was 0-9, and then it got one win when EU headshot themselves. With
Fnatic. Wait. Yeah, it's 1-9, because...
Okay.
Yeah,
it's 2-9, I think, technically.
Are we counting play-ins? Did it win a game in play-ins?
If you're counting play-ins, then it's 2-8.
Okay. Well, I was just counting whatever the League Esports like Twitter account kept tweeting out the updates. I could have missed an update, though, where it got another win.
It was loss. It had no wins going into the 0-2 matchups, and then Karsa won on it for PSG Talon, and Razor won on it for Fnatic.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
That's what I thought. I thought it was 2-8, but
yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, it's bad. Not good. It's still low, and it went a long time before it picked up a single win.
Which is insane because Jarvan is the best jungler. Like, Jarvan is essentially the best jungler on paper on this patch going into Worlds.
You did put him as your highest pick ban.
I did put him as my highest pick
episode, yeah.
Which is totally fucking wrong, but it's fine.
I mean, is it? I feel like he has been played a lot.
Orianna.
I think it's Orianna.
Oh, okay.
Orianna's at a 96.8%.
Jesus.
Oh, geez.
And then it's Orianna, Yunara, Azir, Nico, Poppy, and those are all 25 plus of the 31 games. So there's only one game that Orianna has not been picked, ban, or already played.
Yep. Yeah, like, in a fearless,
a fearless setting. Yeah,
but Jarvan only has 13. We both had Azir as our pick, so maybe Azir could still make it. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, hey, I think J4 is a bit of a feast or famine champion by design. Like, you don't scale incredibly well, and you can make action happen early, but if you fall behind, it can be tough to come back. So
I think I think the big thing for him is all of the ADs on this patch, because genuinely speaking, like, the reason you pick Jarvan into like a Jinx or like a Felios or something like that is because they can't get out of the alt. Well,
yep.
Think of the ADs that are having a high presence right now. We got Kaylin, we got Yunara, we got Kai'Sa can jump out of it. We've got Ezreal, we got Corki. Like, you get all these champions, Lucian, like, every one of these champions has dashes or ways to get out of it, and it's just like, oh, well, why pick Jarvan at that point? You can play Poppies, you can play Wukongs, you can play Qiyanas and Xin Zhaos.
Wukong in particular has been a fucking menace at Worlds this year. Mm-hmm. The Wukong games where they pop off, they just
I think the true menace of this tournament right now is Sion.
Sion,
that's a good point, actually, yeah.
Sion and Xin Zhao are both 10-2.
That's absurd. Games.
Yeah.
That is, so, wow.
So Poppy, Corki, Sion and Xin Zhao all have an 83.3% win rate, and that's like, you take out the champions that have only been like played once or twice. Like, those four have the highest win rate, with a 5-1 on Poppy, a 5-1 on Corki, and then a 10-2 on both Sion and Xin Zhao.
10-2 on that's absurd.
That is really insane.
And there are like better matchups into the Sion. I feel like the Sion's been blind picked so often and is just not getting punished properly. We haven't seen like a Cho'Gath into Sion. We haven't really seen.
Well, the big thing with it is just how many swaps we're seeing at this point. And Sion in swaps is one of the top laners that I would love to take into a swap if I was a team. True. Just like, yeah, we'll send our AD carry.
Sion is the premier lane swap champion. Mm-hmm. Like, it is his bread and butter.
Used to be Cassante, but he's been nerfed enough now that Sion is kind of like replaced him now as the, you cannot kill him. And even if you do, he's just going to farm the wave anyway. So
yeah,
doesn't matter.
I will say, this makes me say, thank God for Fearless come best of fives.
Yes. You only have to worry about one of him. But the funny thing is the first two rounds of Worlds is a Swiss stage in a Fearless best of one. So he will make it in. Now best of threes gets a little better. It will get even better in best of fives. All right, so what are the other big stories here? So crazy stories. Bickle, you had put AL and KT both going 3-0. We already kind of talked about that, but I want to specify something. Not only did both of you have one of those teams as the weakest Eastern team, the worst showing, a.k.a. the longest walk award. Bickle, you gave KT. Badger, you gave AL. I will give you credit that each of you had the other team making it into top 8. So Badger had KT making it into top 8. Bickle had AL making it into top 8. But you each thought the other one was going to be the worst Eastern team. Yeah. And both are the first ones making it out. That's crazy.
Of the six of us that gave predictions, only Yanni has both of them in the top 8. Me, Badger, Kangas, RMC, and Miko all had one of them missing it.
Yeah, and most of it was AL Faith. Only Badger and Miko had KT Faith over AL Faith. So that's very funny. None of us had them 3-0, though. Not a single person on the cast. In fact, I'm the only one that had AL 3-1. Everybody else had the KT or AL or both in a 3-2 bracket. So that's very funny. Yeah. Props to them for having a great draw and making it out. Reminder that statistically, if half of the teams at Worlds were monkeys on a keyboard, a team with monkeys on a keyboard would make it to knockout stage. I'm just want to remind everybody of the math we're dealing with here. So that was, craziest stories. Now, best games in series. This is one, just because there were so many that happened, I think it's unrealistic to cover all of them. I just want each of us to provide our kind of favorite game or series that happened, and it looks like, based on what we all wrote down, we all have something different, but with one shared, variable here. I put Anyone's Legend versus Gen G. Badger put Anyone's Legend versus CFO, and Bickle put Anyone's Legend versus HLE. The common thread is Anyone's Legends games have been bangers. Bickle, start off with, why did you have Anyone's Legend versus HLE, the best of one to start off Anyone's Legends' really impressive run to the 3-0?
This was the, in my mind, the premier matchup of the first round, and it lived up to the hype. it was such an exciting matchup back and forth that really could have gone either way. And in the end, it was just crazy back and forth. You got to see outplays from both teams. You got to see Viper on Onwalife pop off and nearly carry his team through. But in the end, it just wasn't enough as AL puts it all together and comes back and wins the game.
Yeah, agreed. And mine's pretty similar for the premier match from the second round. Both AL and Gen.G were 1-0, and this was less for what we saw in-game. I think the game was fine, but it was more so the narrative around the win, in that AL, again, expectations were so low, and it's like, okay, sure, they were able to beat HLE. That's cool. That's one Korean team, but, like, surely they're not going to be Gen.G. Like, they're the bosses of the LCK, and they beat fucking Gen.G, and then it's like, okay, two LCK teams in a row, plus the first seed LCK team, that really is when I started being like, okay, I think we were just all wrong about anyone's legend and the form they're going to be in. So I just love that they were able to conquer. Not only, it's rare for LPL teams to pick up wins versus LCK teams in general. They almost always dominate everyone else, but LCK they struggle against. But then being able to be two in a row, including the first seed, very, very big stuff. But Badger, why do you have the best of three, AL versus CFO?
I think, genuinely, this is one of the best series to look at from a perspective of, like, you have one team winning in a dominating fashion. You have another game where a team, they just, they're just slugfest games. Like, I'll just keep reiterating it. CFO, bar fight team. Like, you just,
yeah.
They just love to get down and dirty. Like, if there was a team in League of Legends that was those, like, slapping competitions where you try and just slap your opponent in the face so hard to, like, knock him out, like, that's CFO. They're just like, oh, we hit you. Now it's our turn. Like, just hit me real good. Like, just, that's them. And then AL just had the, genuinely, Shanks' LeBlanc game that he had in that game three is one of the best performances I've seen of an assassin in, like, international play in years at this point. It was the way that he was playing LeBlanc and navigating the map and using his team as, like, the initiation tool and, like, looking to destroy backline was an immaculate performance, and I will give Shanks all the credit in the world. I was so down on you coming into this tournament, and then and then you came out and you secured your team the 3-0.
Yeah, and again, I think it's really cool that we all picked an AL game, all different ones too, but it just shows why this team it really exceeded expectations, and I think deserved the 3-0. KT's strength of schedule, you know, I think is more questionable. You can't really question AL's strength of schedule. They beat two LCK teams and CFO, who are, like, playing the best that they've played all year and have already been scary at international events. And then also reverse swept them in the series. So props to AL. Great games so far. Sad we won't get to see them until the knockout stage, but hey, they'll get one of the 3-2 teams in their round one draw. I believe that's how it works. Or is it randomly? No, it's surely it's not fully randomly.
No, they're guaranteed one of the 3-2 teams.
Okay, mm-hmm. That's how I thought it was. Cool.
The 3-0 teams will be on opposite sides of the bracket and are guaranteed a 3-2 team. Whereas
it's just not protected by region. They could
correct.
Get
there's no region protection.
Yes. Okay. There we go. Thank you for catching me up.
Congratulations on going 3-0. Your benefit is you get to face T1 round one.
Could you imagine? Mm-hmm. I mean, if T1 make it to knockouts, they're going to be 3-2. They have
hilarious.
To win all, like, the two best of threes in a row. Speaking of, we got predictions here to talk about the next stage. Again, by the time you hear this podcast episode, these will have already happened. But we want to give our thoughts regardless. This is not in order of when they're being played. This is in order of the Swiss stage graphic that was put out on social. So we're just going to start with the 2-0 teams. Or sorry, the 2-1 teams. If they win this best of three, they qualify for elimination stage. Up first, The best of the West, baby. G2 versus FlyQuest in a best of three to see who makes it out. Now, Badger, you had mentioned the best of draws, the worst of draws, referencing KT. It was also referencing FlyQuest because, oh my God, we could do it again, dude. Get FlyQuest in the knockout stage with only beating Western teams. Although, technically, I guess they did take a game off of the Team Secret Wales. But, like, they would have beaten VKS, Team Secret Wales, and then G2 to make knockouts. That would be hilarious. And do we all think FlyQuest is getting it? Let's look at the predictions here. Yeah, no, Bickle, you actually disagree. You think G2 gets this one 2-1. Why do you think G2 takes it?
I think both of these teams have had some room for improvement in general.
That's a nice way to put it.
This stage so far.
Sound like my mother.
But I think G2's win against BLG, even if it is BLG underperforming, is more impressive than anything FlyQuest has done so far. And G2 always finds a way to turn up. Plus, this is a minor thing that's actually really funny. It's very possible this is a rematch in quarterfinals because a 3-1 team will draw a 3-2 team, so we could get G2 versus FlyQuest in quarters with a Western team guaranteed the semis.
Oh my gosh.
But that works no matter who wins this, right?
Yes, it does.
Might as well have FlyQuest beat G2 twice, maybe. Let's go!
G2 has been performing better. I think...
Okay, fair.
Even with a lot of positions going towards FlyQuest in terms of strength, Caps will always be Caps. And I just think G2 has a way of leveling up when they need to. That FlyQuest also looks really good. I think this will be a really close series, and I can see it going either way. And I think some of FlyQuest is going to be on G2 next year. But I think G2 is just looking really solid.
All right. Well, me and Badger have FlyQuest 2-1. Badger, why do you have FlyQuest taking it?
I believe in the boys. I also have Broken Blade as my biggest overhyped player.
Oh, you did!
I kind of need that to, like.
We had strong thoughts about that.
I need that to happen. Like,
I mean, he did put Ben in the bin.
I need him to get put in the bin now, or else I'm gonna look like a total fraud.
Yeah, I put Zayas as my knighthood award, and that has not paid off. No. And not even slightly. He looks really good. How's Canyon looked? Bickle, how do you feel about Canyon as the Knighthood Award?
I think he's... He hasn't been great. But he's... I will say this. He's been the worst part of Gen G. So that's looking good, at least.
All right, fair enough. By the way, on the Please Bench the Kench Award, a.k.a. the Don't Make This Champ Popular in My Solo Queue, I did pick a Nivea. Shout out G2 and Caps. And also, I think shout out Bickle. Wasn't it Bickle that predicted last week that
I
it would
did
be
call
G2
out that
it
would be
it?
Caps playing that exact did,
yeah.
champion?
I remember when he locked it in game. I was like, my prediction. I was like, wait, but somebody else had an even better prediction that they called it was Caps. So shout out to both of us then. All right, cool. Well, we're split on the cast for FlyQuest G2, but up next is Gen G versus Top Esports, and we are not split. We all think Gen G takes this. I have a 2-0. Bickle has a 2-0. Badger has a 2-1 for Gen G, so you think it's a little closer.
You
but
know
either
what
way,
that means. Congratulations to Top Esports for making it. God.
Could you imagine?
I do want to say.
Beating Gen G to make it.
I think Top Esports pulls the KT from last year.
Goes into the 2-0 and then immediately just falls out.
Goes 1-0, 2-0 into not even making knockouts.
You know, that actually kind of makes 2-0, sense.
2-1, 2-2, 2-3.
Yeah.
I can respect that, honestly.
Well, let's look at, like, the team. So if they lose this, if Top Esports lose this, they would play, like, BLG. If we're just going based on, like, expected results for the next round, it would be, like, BLG, either MCOY TSW, because I think that one's a more 50-50, or like T1. Yeah, that's actually tough. Like BLG or T1 are going to be tough opponents to pull there. So easily could happen. We'll see, but we all think Gen G takes it. Then it's HLE CFO to round out the 2-1. I have faith in CFO. Badger agrees.
Oh, Kang is, I was supposed to come in here as the CFO believer, not saying that they were going to knock off Hanwha. And
look, man,
you stole my fucking thunder.
They smacked T1. They made it close versus AL. I think there's a world that they could have been a 3-0 team to start off their worlds and been waiting in knockouts already. And I don't know if Hanwha can deal with it. Zayas as well, I know he is a great player, and I was, I think, already early on, I can say I was wrong about him being the most overhyped, but he's got two top laners to deal with. Remember, CFO have Driver and Rest, so they can utilize that to kind of nullify HLE's strong point and shut down Zayas and what he's able to do, so I think the CFO is uniquely equipped to deal with HLE and can take them down in the prolonged series. But I think HLE get a game. Like, probably game one. I think it's going to be a reverse sweep from CFO, actually. But Bickle, you have HLE 2-1. You give one game to CFO. How do you think it goes?
I didn't think it was going to be the spicy pick, but apparently with you two really riding high on CFO, I think this is going to be a great series. This is the best series in round four, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. This is going to be the most exciting gameplay. These are two phenomenal teams that have just been playing so well. Doggo has been on a whole new level, but Viper is top two Viper. AD carry in the world. He's Viper for a reason. Yeah. And I'm just really excited to see how this entire matchup plays out. I just think Hanwha Life is the better team, even with CFO playing on such a high level.
But what's Hanwha Life, what's all that skill? What's all that, oh, we're the best team going to look like when they enter the ring, bell goes ding, 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 and CFO just immediately start throwing haymakers?
Like, everyone's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth.
Bro, exactly, yeah. Right? Once you get punched in the mouth, and you start
they're gonna take Hanwha, the slow team, like the slowest playing team at Worlds, and bring them down to their level and be like, all right, all gas, no brakes. Here we go.
Yep. And, again, I think that CFO, I'm giving them a lot of respect. I think they can take it. But I agree with you, Bickle. This is going to be, I think, the closest of the series in terms of, like, the top level play. Like, the metric of close and good gameplay, this is going to be the peak. I'm very excited for G2 Fly, but I don't think the gameplay is going to be at the same level as HLE CFO. But I think that's the other one that's like really exciting for me. Obviously,
and we will find out in about 4 hours.
We will actually find
out
in 4 hours.
We will actually find out very soon because that's one of the matches happening tonight. Now let's talk about the 1-2s. Get through these quick here before we wrap up the episode. It's going to be BLG versus VKS. We all have BLG. Bickle has a game to VKS. That's actually surprising. I've not been that impressed by VKS. They've only defeated PSG, who were looking really
PSG
bad.
Actually was the worst group. The worst team in Swiss stage, if we're being 110% honest.
So why do you have VKS getting a game? Do you just really disrespect BLG right now?
I think BLG's been playing absolutely atrocious. And
okay,
personally, I think PSG did better than Fnatic.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Either way, we all think
Fnatic was the worst team.
Yeah, I could see that. Looking
at the team stats, yeah, it's pretty bad.
I still think it's PSG, but I think they're both very comparably bad. That being said, they're still both better than a lot of the other teams in their region, so I don't want to like disrespect them too much.
So can I do a stat just in a quick deep dive that I did? Fnatic in their five games has a 0.53 kill to death ratio.
That's bad.
PSG had a 0.56. 100 Thieves had a 0.63.
Oh, no.
And you want to know who's in the fourth from the bottom? It's Billy Billy.
Is it BLG?
.67.
My defense of PSG versus Fnatic is PSG at least had to play Gen.G and Hanwha Life.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Fnatic had to play a CFO, which is a good team, obviously. But they got BLG, who has looked atrocious. And then they get to play M'Koy.
Yep.
Huh. Yeah, and they got team shot by M'Koy, which is a bummer. Speaking of, M'Koy versus Team Secret Wales is the next one at 1-2. And this one, again, I think is going to be close. We have a split cast here. Me and Badger think it's Team Secret Wales, but I have a 2-1. Badger is a 2-0. Bickle, you got a 2-1 for M'Koy. Honestly, I'm not going to lie. Flip a coin. That's where I'm at with these two teams. Is like, I don't think either of them is making it into knockouts. I don't think this matters at all. I think this only matters for teams like Fly G2, whoever loses that series. Probably Top Esports is going to be paying attention, and then whoever loses CFO versus HLE, like the losers of the 2-1 round are going to be looking at this one, being like, "We want this." Whoever wins this round, that's who we want to face.
G2 are big Secret Whales fans. FlyQuest are big MCOY fans.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, G2 I think are also big MCOY fans. Like, I think they're
can't play MCOY again. They already played them.
That's
why FlyQuest can't play Secret Whales again. G2 can't play MCOY again.
Oh, good point. Good point right there. Okay, cool. Well, that does change it slightly in terms of what happens early on. Because
this
we'll
is
see,
a
like,
really minor
G2
thing.
Tonight.
But if G2 loses and MCOY wins, they have a 50-50 shot of drawing T1.
Well, that's if T1 wins. So let's look at predictions. Oh, yeah, we all have T1 winning. 2-0s from Badger and Bickle, 2-1 from me. So there is a 50-50 shot then that G2 could pull them. That, I mean, if it's not Worlds if we don't get G2 versus T1 at least once, right? Like, come on. It's got to happen.
Yeah.
We need to
see it. If FlyQuest get into top 8 by beating G2 and having beaten no Eastern teams into G2 being knocked out by T1 in the 3-2 matchup, I think Europe is going to explode.
Okay, but look at the rest of G2's run. They had Top Esports, sure, that can be a little tough. But then MCOY, they beat BLG, then FlyQuest. Like, I don't think you can argue that they had an unlucky draw this Worlds. They have had Worlds in the past, last year especially, where, like, it was bad. Bad luck draw. But this time, they got to team kill, and they got to go up against NA. If they lose to NA, I don't think they can complain.
I do think losing to NA eliminates their ability to complain between the draws.
But they're still going to. It's EU, you know. Who are we kidding?
Can I give a shout-out to Upset for using Rift Herald to save his KDA when his team fought and died over it? And he was like, well, I'm the lucky recipient of it. And then he uses Rift Herald to get out of a dive on top lane.
Why did Fnatic keep picking Ezreal into tanks?
Okay, I saw something very mean posted on Twitter. I don't know the answer to that question, Pickle, first of all. But I saw something very mean posted on Twitter that showed Upset stats in 2017 of, like, number of Worlds appearances.
I just saw that tweet.
Top 8s, all these things. And it was like 0000000 and then like one like LEC playoffs or something. And then it showed Upset stats 2025. It's almost the exact same, but it's just EU stats are higher. Like, he's got more playoffs than EU.
I've seen that exact graphic, but I think I've also seen a line on it which is 10th place finishes.
Yo.
He's finished 10th place like 4 times.
That's actually crazy. But he's still sometimes so good.
Fnatic's blowing up that damn roster.
Yeah, 100%.
Like,
isn't Grabs already gone?
No, Grabs, I think they said they're bringing back for another year.
Okay, okay.
Oh, okay. I thought he said he was gone.
Over under 3.5
statement
changes
about how the year went. Yeah, I could imagine that for sure. They got to do something. But, hey, they got an offseason to do it now because their Worlds run ended quickly. Just because we didn't mention it, the teams confirmed gone from Worlds are Fnatic and PSG. Both of them are the ones that bombed out 0-3. Congratulations to KT and AL for going 3-0. We're going to have many more teams over the next couple of days qualify in, and then we'll get into the top 5. Quarterfinals will begin Tuesday, October 28th at midnight. So that's essentially Monday then. Monday night, midnight for Pacific time if you're over on the East Coast. Sorry, it's going to be like a 3 a.m. start time for you. That's really tough. But, yeah, quarterfinals are right around the corner in about a week's time from when we're recording this. But we do have more Swiss stage before then. Should be able to get one episode in, hopefully, between Swiss stage and the knockout stage. We'll have that Monday to record, maybe even Sunday if we can get everybody together. Sometimes it's tougher on a weekend. But hopefully we can get one more episode out going into the knockout stage so we can wrap up Swiss. But for now, at least this was a halfway check-in point. Yeah. Anything else that we missed, guys? I feel like that was everything that I had prepped. Like that, we covered our predictions. We covered the big stories. Anything though that you feel like we missed before we close out? Going once.
Think we're good.
Going twice. Perfect. Love to hear it.
Yeah, no, got nothing.
Well, all that means then is, hey, Badger, if people wanted to leave a number of stars for a review for this podcast episode, how many do you think they should leave?
I believe they should leave as many games as PSG Talon and Fnatic played at Worlds before getting sent home, and that's five.
Is that five? Did they both play three games in their elimination series?
It's four.
Yeah, I was going to say. Like,
no, it's five. Never mind. Ignore me. Because they went 0-1, 0-1, 1-2.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, trust me. I went through the Games of Legends.
I just want to make sure we're not telling people to give us a four-star review again. Because
just be careful. Last time I did something, they gave us a two-star review.
Yeah. We can't have our reviews tanked.
That's my bad.
Nah, it's okay. And thank you too for being on for another week. Hopefully we can have you back on for next week along with some more people on the pod. World scheduling is crazy though around this time of year, so it can be difficult to get everybody together. But thanks for sticking along with us, everybody, for another week and another podcast episode. World season, it comes by too slow and then it's over too fast, so enjoy it while it lasts. But also remember this: we love you and we'll see you next time. Bye bye, everybody.
Peace.
Bye.